B-Pod Studios.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I just think more and more this team has to... It's not going to happen. I don't even know why I keep... feeding a fed horse. Now, that's PETA correctness right there. I don't know why I'm feeding... They're not going to run the ball more. They're not. I mean, they're not. If Jordan Howard comes back, now you have that little injury thing on him. Like, well, you can't run him too much. His first week back from shoulder injury.
Hey, what's up with that pitch count with running backs?
I don't know.
What the hell is that?
And you know what? Before that's one of the questions that I told you I'm going to bring up today. It's going to be an interesting one about what might bother you in sports. But I don't know. And for somebody to say, it was Donovan that said, you know, he's not your workhorse back. He wasn't brought here.
I totally disagree with that.
I can understand it if you're talking through a season. Is he a 20 to 25 carry a week guy? Maybe not.
Maybe not. But
yeah. For yesterday, damn straight he was a 25 carry guy. Especially when you're going for 5, 6, 7 yards and a lot of times getting out of bounds before you're getting hit. That was the way to win the game yesterday.
Well, why are we trying to save him? Because it looks like we're going to be home for Christmas. We're going to be home for the rest of the playoffs because of it. Because we're not doing the little things like running the ball we're supposed to.
And this whole injury thing, it was my pet peeve at the beginning of the year when in training camp and you're talking about protecting everybody and Carson got to get rid of the ball and Carlos just said in his call, well, you can't throw it 35 times because Carson's going to get hit. I'm tired of that. He's a football player. Let him play. Roll him out, run him, whatever you have to do. If he gets hurt, so be it.
Yes.
But it's football players. Let them get out there and run the football and do what they have to do. Trent from Maryland, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Trent?
Hello.
You.
Yeah, so I'm going to have to agree with you, Bill, in blaming the coach Doug Peterson on how terrible this team is.
Pat, tell him my name's Bob.
It's Bob, man.
Oh, sorry.
That's all right, buddy. Hey, as long as you agree with me, you can call me anything you want.
I was counting. One, two.
So my biggest concern is that Doug Peterson, he's just not a good coach. You know, in my opinion. Three best coaches in history: Mike Ditka, Phil Jackson, and Bugs Bunny in Space Jam.
All right, very good. My man got his words in there.
He got Mike, the words.
But you know, Bugs Bunny wasn't that great in Space Jam.
No,
he didn't.
No.
I don't think he got the most out of Bill Murray because they had one defensive sequence, and Murray stands like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa!" I think Jordan was drawing up something. He's like, "Whoa, whoa! I don't play defense." So they had to get him off.
It was the greatest comeback in sports history, movie history.
That was a hell of a shot. I never seen anybody stretch like that.
Yeah,
it's one of the better movies in my life.
Let's break it down tomorrow.
Okay, we'll break it down tomorrow. Dwayne in Richmond, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Dwayne?
Hey, what's up, guys? Barry, I agree with you 100%. I don't know what the hell Donovan McNabb was talking about this morning about, you know, Miles Sanders. Yesterday was the day you run him.
Right.
He's a young kid, and he's explosive. Like, if you would have kept running him, he was going to break something for a long run.
He's got young legs anyways.
Yeah, he got young legs. Get him in a passing game even more than what you're doing. I don't get it. But what I want to say is I blame Howie. I heard what you were talking about, Barrett, about fundamentals. But it's something you can't teach in the NFL, and that's speed. And Howie has not drafted speed on the offense except for Miles Sanders. I'll say the white side. I don't understand that. I really don't. I mean, he couldn't get open. He seemed slow. What are we having for jump balls in the end zone? That's why you really drafted him? You know, that makes me – and I got a question for y'all. What is it that you don't like about Jordan Howard? Why isn't he signed yet? Please explain it to me.
Well, I like him, and I think the team has grown to like him, but now you have this injury thing. And what is it exactly? Is it an injury that is so decimating that it is keeping him out? Is there a game being played here where, well, I'm on a contract here, and Barrett, you can speak better to this than I can because you've been with the players. Is it a thing where he doesn't want to get out there when he's not 100% healthy? Contract year.
I think that's what it is. I think it's a contract year. He's demonstrated to the Philadelphia Eagles how he can be productive, and yet y'all haven't said anything to me or contacted my agents or anything, and I believe that's what it is. But he's effective. Sign him and Sanders makes a good duo. You know what I mean? And I like what you – I'm going to go after this because I know I'm going to get up against – you guys were right. I want to hear what you got to say about the running back thing and this rotation and not giving them courage because I don't understand it either.
Yeah, thanks, Dwayne. Appreciate the call. I don't – yesterday I didn't understand it a little bit. The one thing, Jay Ajayi runs on the outside that one time, and you're like moving a calendar to time him.
Right.
They didn't have a stopwatch on him. They had a calendar.
Not his strength, right.
and it's just like, oh, man. And you feel bad for the guy. He's a young kid. I think he's only 25. He's bone on bone, and arthritis. Everything you can have wrong with a knee, he has wrong. So you feel bad for him for that. But at the same time,
yeah. I mean,
I don't need him on my football team.
Right. Well, yeah. I mean, the Jordan Howard injury, I think it's seriously an injury. I mean, they said he's less than 50%. And I understand that because I need both of my shoulders worked on also. But when you have that strength, that lack of strength when you get hit on the shoulder, and that's the one thing about running back, you're going to get hit on the shoulders. That thing goes numb while you're carrying the ball. That's a turnover ready to happen.
Yeah.
And I really think that's legitimate because I really think that they would be out there playing with him if he could. He would be playing if he could. I mean, he's interviewing for 31 other teams. So he wants to get out there. He understands his worth. He understands that he got screwed this last contract because, you know, he got traded to a team that just drafted a guy in the second round who's going to be the heir apparent. So, you know, he's like, all right, you know, I believe he wants to go out there and play, but they're going to stop him from playing simply because he's just not going to be effective once he gets hit on that shoulder and then that shoulder gets numb.
If he's not going to help you, you can't have him out there.
Right, exactly.
And if he could even be someone that's going to hurt you out there, you definitely can't put him out there.
Absolutely.
When you're in a stretch run like this. Michael in Virginia, who's to blame? You're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Guys, you said it. You said it already multiple times. It's all on Doug. It's all on Doug. I'm gonna point out three things to y'all. Now, playing against the Miami Dolphins, and Doug Peterson said he knew they were gonna come out in some crazy special teams formation. That's what we call the swinging gate formation.
Yep.
And they were lined up. They were actually lined up properly. You got the two guys bracketed in the center. You got another guy to match up with the so-called quarterback back there. So they're lined up properly. But who do you have out there on the field? You got Sweat out there. Sweat's a backup. So probably in walkthrough, if you just went through it, you know, nice and quick just to do it, and you didn't put emphasis on it, the backups are not in. The starters are in, right?
Well, you know, I'm going to do you one better on that. How about we just call timeout?
Yeah.
Exactly. That goes on the head coach.
Yep.
Knowing that the Miami Dolphins are a desperate team, you know they're going to kick the ball off to start the second half. Telling your guys, look for onside. Now, I know we didn't lose that onside, but we weren't ready for it. The guys were retreating, going back for the block. So all of a sudden, there's an onside kick. We could have lost that.
Yeah.
The game could have got out of hand there. And you're talking about, we were getting a good pass rush early in the game. All of a sudden, the pass rush goes away.
What happened to that, you know, Michael? What happened? Where did it go?
Miami Dolphins started doing three-step passing. The ball was coming out. Bang, bang, bang. 2.1 seconds, 2 seconds, 2.1 seconds. All of a sudden, they start seeing, oh, wait, our running back has a good pathway to get open against their linebackers. They start using their running back in the passing game. We couldn't tackle their running back in space. So all of a sudden, you see in-game adjustments from other teams, other opponents that we're playing that you don't see us doing.
Yeah.
It's just that all comes down to coaching. On the one play, Matt Collins lines up wrong. So right before the snap, we're trying to tell
him. So they got to tell him, come on over.
And then that throws off the timing. We have Peters offside.
Exactly. There were so many, Michael, thank you so much for the call. There were so many little things yesterday that bothered the hell out of me. And that was one of the big ones right there. Matt Collins is lined too far outside. It's a 4th and 2. They're going for it. He's lined up too far outside. The play clock gets down to like 6-5 seconds. Carson notices it. I think somebody else did also. And they're like, you got to get over here. Get over here. You're too wide. He comes closer finally. It has to be a real quick snap because the play clock's about to run out. And Jason Peters jumps. And they get a penalty, and they get pushed back, and they don't get a chance to go for it on 4th and 2. It's just little things like that that have killed this team all year. Like
absolutely.
They die deaths with you know, stab wounds or whatever, but they also die by a million paper cuts. And it's the little penalties and the big penalties and the guy stumbling, a defensive back stumbling when he's trying to make a play on the ball.
Right.
The frustration in everyone's voice today is certainly warranted.
Well, it's warranted because at the end of the day, this is a 2-9 team. We lost to a 2-9 team. And then I came to the realization they beat a team that only has 3 more wins than they did. In fact, now it's 2 more, you know. this team is not good.
No.
You know, you are what your record says you are. And at this point, I see this team as being at 5-17. Now, okay, prove me wrong, but I'm looking at it. There was no way that I thought they were going to run the table the last five games. Not from what I saw and what I witnessed the past 5 weeks.
I didn't have a whole bunch of confidence in it, and you're lying to yourself if you say you did.
Absolutely.
I mean, you are. There's been more games to prove them to be a 5-7 team than there are to prove that they should be any better. There might be one, and that was the Green Bay game.
Right, right.
And that Green Bay lost that game more than Eagles won. I mean, why they threw four times from the 1 yard line when they could have won the game?
Yeah,
made no sense to me.
Devontae Parker, you know, he comes out in this game and plays like he's Superman.
Yeah.
He didn't play like that all year.
Wide receivers do that against this Eagles secondary for some reason. It's where they rejuvenate their careers. But coming up, don't forget Doug Peterson, press conference at 12 o'clock. We will carry that live. Let you know that the 11 a.m. hour is brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. We're also going to have Bob Ford from Philadelphia Inquirer on around the 1 o'clock hour. And today is Cyber Monday. Friday, obviously, was Black Friday. Two things, Barrett, you and I talked about this before the show. Two things that weren't around when we were little.
Exactly.
Call it a trend, maybe. So I'm going to ask a question in the next segment. I'm going to ask a question as far as trends, as that one goes, and trends in sports, either ones that you like or don't like. 610-632-0975. I'm Bob Cooney. He's Barrett Brooks. We're here until 2 o'clock for Anthony Gargano. Time at the Fanatic, 11:11.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
97.5, The Fanatic.
I do know this, Egan. My kids were little enough that I watched Doug back in the day.
Doug,
they have a dog
or
something. He had like big feet, right?
Yep,
Doug,
yep.
And he kind of goofy, just walking.
Right, right.
Reminds you of somebody, doesn't it?
Huh?
Reminds you of somebody, doesn't it?
No, he looked like he was tall. You're not tall.
I was going to say somebody that might have lost to Miami.
Oh. Somebody what?
Somebody that might have lost to Miami.
Oh.
I get what you're saying there.
Doug.
Doug. I haven't heard that theme song in a while.
Mind. We better figure this out.
Wow. Yeah, well, you better figure it out now, Doug. And that's the question we're posing. Bob Cooney sitting in for Anthony Gargano. I got Barrett Brooks with me. Got Pat Egan behind the glass. The question I'm throwing out there, whose fault is it? This team's 5-7. I had them going like 13-3, expected it to be a Super Bowl. I think most of us were kind of there.
I was 10-6.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you were on the bottom end of what most people thought.
Yeah, I mean, because, you know, a zebra never loses his stripes. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And I just see the inefficiency at running the ball and throwing the ball. You know, you win championships by running the rock. How many teams, you know, in the past recent Super Bowls have won Super Bowls by passing the ball? For the most part, you have to run the rock. And we just don't do it. It's a fundamental flaw that this team has. That and fundamentals right now. I mean, you look at fundamentals. Little things win games for you, and little things will lose a lot more than you win.
Yeah.
We just don't do things fundamentally right. I mean, little things, you know, even as far as protections. We don't do things right. You know, a quarterback, you know, even and Carson had an okay game. Carson was not the reason why we lost. Carson wasn't the reason, you know. I mean, everybody's, you know, kind of sees what's going on. They know the play calling was flawed. We understand, you know, the only pass ball was seven times in the second half was, you know, wrong. You know what I'm saying? In every sense of the word, wrong. But just looking at little things, in protections, and he has to understand protections a little better, understand where he's supposed to go with the ball. I didn't see him. A lot of times I didn't see him go through his progression. I see him focusing on one guy and pushing it to that guy. You know, he rarely gets to his second and third read half the time. So, I mean, It's all about these guys getting coached better in order for them to play better.
It's funny, we didn't talk about Carson an awful lot on the morning show today.
Exactly.
And so I was thinking as we're going on, callers didn't talk about him. We didn't talk about him all that much. Is that a sign that he played a pretty good game?
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
because at this point, if you lose to a team like that, you're casting the blame. So if somebody's name comes up, it's casting blame.
You're right, right.
Carson's
right.
name didn't come up. So I get the feeling people aren't blaming him for the game yesterday.
It was a far cry from the past 2 weeks, though.
Yeah, no, exactly, which his name came up all the time. So if it didn't come up, it means that he was the player of the game, I guess. Brought to you by Pennsylvania Fine Wine and Good Spirits Stores. This November, celebrate with great spirits and savings at your local Fine Wine and Good Spirits. My problem with Carson isn't solely with Carson, but it's how Doug Peterson's using Carson Wentz.
Yes.
I said it earlier. He's a football player, and I've been on this kind of all year. He's healthy. If it took you first two, three games to realize, okay, the guy's not going to break, make him more of what he was in 2017, where he was rolling out, where he was doing things. I told you, I think it was during the break, I'm watching highlights last night. Jacoby Brissett for Indianapolis, who Frank Reich coaches, does a rollout to his right, stops, stands, turns, looks, and you saw the play and you knew exactly the play I was talking about.
To the tight end, going
to the tight end Doyle, I believe. Yep, right in the end zone, boom, cross the field. I said, oh my God, that looks so familiar. The Eagles did that all during the 2017 season.
Well, look at he ran sprint right option, took the ball all the time, exhausted every single guy that he could have thrown it to, and then stops and throws across his body and hits, you know, for the touchdown. Who was that?
Doyle, right?
No, I'm talking about Carson.
Oh, whoa.
Hits the rookie for a touchdown. Or take a white side for the touchdown.
Yeah, on the run.
I mean, that's what he does. We don't move the pocket for him at all. And that's the problem, man. We have to move the waggle protections. It's when you pull the backside guard. It's kind of a little slice sprint out. But then you have an offensive lineman, a guard there in front of him to pick off people that are coming. Or just run boot plays. He's athletic enough, uses athleticism. That's what made him a magician, Carson the Magician, in 2017. He could move around and make plays.
You've made an athlete a thrower an awful long time, and that's not the way you should go. I don't think this kid's just a thrower. I think he's an athlete.
No,
and I've said it all year long. I think you got to exploit his athleticism and use it. Realize now he's staying healthy. He's not going to get hurt. Get him out there. Get him doing what he does best. Lenny in New Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's going on, Len?
Hello, this is Joel Embiid. No, I'm just kidding. Listen, Barrett Brooks would be able to answer this question. For the longest time, I think the second game of the season, when I saw them, they were beat by the Washington Redskins the first game of the season, but they wound up winning the game. I remember during the preseason where Doug said, no, I don't have to play. Everybody's fine. They're just going to come in. They haven't missed a beat. And I think they missed a beat, and you know they're still getting injured and things of that nature. I wonder if Barrett, if you had any comments on that, since you were a player, about the preseason.
Well, you know what, man, that's another one of those fundamental flaws that the new wave NFL are going to. You have to condition your body, toughen your body when you're out there playing, and that's what you do in the preseason. You go out there, beat your body up, so it really gets used to the rigor mortis of playing in an NFL season. The season gets broken up into four sections. The first four games, then you know you have the middle of the season, then you have the last season, then you have the playoffs, and it goes up a level after every four games. It's not till the fourth game you realize what your identity is as a team. And we didn't know we were going into that game. I mean, to the fourth game, we still didn't have an identity. If we had any identity, it was a bad football team. And that was our identity to the fourth game. It wasn't until we started and had the epiphany that we can run the rock, that we beat Green Bay, that we really figured out, all right, this is the only way we can win the game. We just haven't fell into it. But yes, we need to go out there and practice. You need to go out there and have two-a-days. You need to hit each other in order to get your body tough enough to play, and it really builds your toughness, as you know, mentally and physically, when you do that to yourself.
So, Lenny, who do you blame for the season?
I don't blame anybody. I mean, I went to bed last night. I'm not upset. I ate my breakfast. I read my paper. My life will carry on. I mean, you know, some people call up, oh, my God, I'm so upset. I got to see this. It's just football. They don't give a crap. After the game's all over, they shake hands, exchange jerseys, and go home. I tell you what, I'll point out to one person. I think we have a DeMarcus Lawrence on our team, and it's Fletcher Cox. He gets paid just the same amount of money, and some games you don't even hear his name mentioned. I just believe the bottom line is I blame the team. They are just not a good team, and everybody puts down Jerry Jones for coming into the locker room. Maybe my boy ought to make a trip from the penthouse suite and come down there and shake up things a little bit.
All right, thanks, Lenny. And some people were calling for that today. You know, Mark was saying on the morning show that he wouldn't be surprised and he'd be forced, maybe somebody getting an axe today, maybe a player getting cut today, something happening with the thought of you can't come out of a loss to a team like that and give the perception that everything's still okay.
Right, you're absolutely right, man. There has to be some consequences and repercussions for the fact that you lost to a team that's 2-9 that you're supposed to beat. You're supposed to beat. And mentally at this point, I doubt seriously if they were supposed to win the games that they've won simply because this team does not have that, you know, it's hard for me to say it because I know these guys.
Sure.
And I know they have a lot of,
you're in the trust moxie, tree here, though. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, you can say whatever you want.
They have a lot of moxie about themselves. But I think they believe too highly of themselves and they're not at a point in which they can think of themselves like a Patriot team or like a Steeler team. The teams that have won multiple rings. They can walk around with a swagger because they've done it. They understand what
but
it is
they
to put
don't.
Through. And that's it right there.
Right?
They walk around like they're still God's gift when you're not. You still have to put in the work. And you know when you're a championship caliber team because you don't have to be told to work. You have to be told to slow down.
Right.
And that's, you know, I mean, BC would have to tell us, Bill Cowher would have to tell us, hey, guys, stop banging yourselves up. We have a game to play. Calm down a little bit. But you shouldn't have to tell an NFL player to amp it up. It should be already ingrained that, all right, we have to take it to the next level. And until they get this culture back and leave this culture of this new culture they're supposed to have, until they leave that alone, they will continue to be get their ass kicked like this.
Yeah, I look at a New England team. I look at a San Antonio team in basketball from years back. And you look at those franchises that were dynasties. The only way you can tell it is by the way they dominate on the field. Like, they come knowing they're going to win.
Absolutely.
It's not by the way they carry themselves off the field or anything like that. There's none of that. I forget who it was. It was somebody in the San Antonio tree that said, you know, you win a championship, you look to the next year. You don't look back.
No.
You don't look back on the championships. You look to the next year and how you're going to get another one and what do you have to do to get better.
We used to get off the bus knowing we won the game. We got off the bus like stormtroopers. And we would see and look in the opponent's eyes and they would know that we were about to kick their tail, man.
Yeah, yeah. And it's just not an attitude that seems to be here right now. Donald and Lansdowne, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Yeah, how you guys doing today?
Good. How about you, buddy?
Okay, you made some major points. Wentz is not going through his progressions. The offensive line, everybody talks about how great they are. They're not picking up stunts. They're not picking up blitzes. So if he can't go through his progressions, then he needs to come out of the pocket and throw the ball on the run. Or in 2 seconds, if nobody's open, just take off and run. That's number one. Number two, Harry Roseman's to blame because in the last 2 years, he has not drafted a valid linebacker, okay, or a third safety. A lot of times, defensively, we play pretty good with three safeties. And if we had a faster safety that can go over the top and double cover these wide receivers, we could make out pretty good.
Well, you know, it comes with the territory. You mean, this team does not have the personnel to do what they did. You know, they used to run big nickel, just like you said. I call big nickel three safeties. They don't have the personnel right. Who would you say is their big nickel? I mean, they could put Avante Maddox as the third.
Yeah, but they keep making stupid deals over the years with Cleveland when it comes to the draft or Baltimore. And if you look at the Cleveland situation, they messed around and made a deal with Cleveland to get Aguilar, and Cleveland went ahead and got Johnny Manziel. Then the deals with Baltimore in the last couple of years. you know, Baltimore is getting a better team. I mean, they might win the Super Bowl this year. So I think Harry Roseman needs to deal with other teams around the league, other general managers, and swing deals where we can maybe trade back our first-round pick and maybe get an extra second-round pick and still have a first-round pick. I mean, we need two valid linebackers, a safety, wide receiver, and I'm willing to go in the draft and draft two more running backs.
Well, we're not going to draft a linebacker high in the draft. That's number one. We just don't do that. That's just not what it's in Philadelphia makeup. We don't do that.
And running backs? That might be the one position I think you're kind of solid in.
Yeah, but they're not going to do that either. I mean, after this is an anomaly. They drafted somebody in the second round. You know, that's only because they had to with the Pumphrey fiasco.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
In the fourth round.
I mean, yeah.
He was a fourth rounder, man.
The high expectations. Right. You know, you thought you got to see an all-time leading rusher.
Yep.
And comes in and says, he was just too small. There was no other way to put it. He was just too small. He got pushed around all over the place. Somebody on the morning show brought up a caller. He said it kind of casually, but it came out of his mouth. He said, you know, you got to look at Howie and all that stuff. And you know, for this rebuild, he has to. And I was like, whoa.
I heard you say that.
Yeah, kind of made my world stop for a second. Are they on the cusp of having to... Now, I'm not saying a breakdown. Let's put it this way. How big of a rebuild did they have to make now?
You know what? I mean, when you say rebuild, you know, there's a lot of money that they have tied up in certain positions. And Howie Roseman was a wizard the last time we had this term rebuild that we mentioned it.
Right.
When he was able to get rid of, you know, two Hollow Dollars, you know, Vernon Maxwell and Kiko Alonso. To Miami. That was a phenomenal deal. I mean, I can't believe he made that deal. And then he turned right back around, and the running back from Dallas came up here. I forget his name. Oh, my goodness. But he was ready to get rid of him also. DeMarco Murray. He sent DeMarco
Murray
to the Titans.
Yep.
And, you know, that's where we were able to get up and get Carson. Do we have the same ability to do the same thing with a guy like maybe, you know, I mean, I don't know. Who would you trade right now to, you know, to get rid of and dump some salary? You have Alshon. Alshon, his contract is guaranteed next year.
Yeah. He's untradeable.
Right,
I mean,
right.
Paul Domowicz for the Daily News and Inquirer does a Q&A every week with Joe Banner and talks about such situations. Well, the lead this week was, what do you do wide receiver-wise? And Banner came around and said, Aguilar and Jeffrey, gone. And well, Domowicz came back with, yeah, but yeah, that's too much money. I don't care. Pittsburgh showed it. They did it with Antonio Brown. Yeah. They got rid of $20 million. And, you know, sometimes you just have to cut your losses. Well, if they do that, now your key positions are, you're going to need safeties.
Yep.
I mean, McLeod and Jenkins are getting up there.
Yes.
If for nothing else, you need depth there. Cornerback, are you settled?
No.
You know, they're young, but are they good enough? Linebacker, I know what you said.
You got to pay Jalen Mills also.
That's right.
You got to pay Jalen Mills, and you have to pay Ronald Darby.
Yeah.
Both guys are free agents.
Linebacker, you're not going to draft high anyway. It's never going to be your high priority. You're just getting depth there, but you need some.
Well,
you need linebackers.
You definitely, because at this point, Nigel Bradham, he showed a little bit of you know, being a little slower than I thought he was.
Right.
And, I mean, I like Nathan Garrett. I think he's starting to step it up a little bit. He just can't tackle as well as he should right now.
Yeah.
But he's getting up. He's making plays. Camel, he's up to get paid next year also.
Yeah. So, I mean, there's a lot of holes that they have to fill. Is it a total rebuild? Is it plugging in spots? It's getting to that dicey situation. You're going to have to see how it plays out this offseason. Brandon, Staten Island, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Brandon?
Hey, so, yeah, listen, I think you said it, right? I think we're probably...
Brandon, we got a bad connection here. We're going to have to put you on hold, and we'll come back to you. Sound like you were going through a tunnel or something there. Roy, in New Jersey, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Roy?
What's going on, boys?
How you doing?
I'm good, man. I could talk about the game and the micro, but I want to talk about more the big picture and the macro.
All right.
And I blame Doug and Howie in the macro, right? So the wide receivers, when you go from Groh to Welsh, that's a downgrade,
yes.
Right?
Yes.
When you go from Reich to Groh, that's a downgrade.
Yes.
When you go from Flip to Taylor, that's a downgrade.
Yep.
So when you look at the wide receivers being ranked 32, you know why. When you wonder why Carson is regressing, you know why.
Coaching.
It's a downgrade at the coaching, right? And when I look at Chip Kelly is about to be on his third job when he gets fired from UCLA, but yet Corey Underlin is still coaching our defensive backs, you wonder why there is a downgrade, why we're struggling. You understand what I'm saying?
Well, you know, it's a fundamental football, like I've been saying all morning. You get taught fundamentals from your coaches. You go in with a game plan from your coaches. You get told how to play different techniques from your coaches.
Absolutely.
So, Roy, your main blame goes to whom?
For that part of it, I put that on Doug.
Okay.
The fact that again, like I said, Chip Kelly is going to be on his third coaching job, but yet Corey Unlin is still coaching our defensive backs. That's on Doug. Something needed to be done there. Now, as far as Howie goes, I'm sitting back and I'm watching the Patriots and the Texans play last night, right? Deshaun Watson gets the luxury of throwing the ball to D-Hop and still got two other 4-3 wide receivers to choose from.
Fuller, local guy Fuller.
Yeah, and the third wide receiver also runs a 4-3. Like number 12, they caught the ball after they called the incomplete pass on the deep ball to Fuller, right? They came back the very next play, number 12 also runs a 4-3. Like you can't have these slew footed wide receivers that everybody like they got 10 big toes in their feet. and Carson's got to stand in the pocket and wait for somebody to come open.
Yeah, no, like, I hear you, Roy. It's a great point. We're up against it. Thanks for the call. Andy Reid did the same thing out in Kansas City. They're getting all fast wide receivers. It's the way of the game. And the Eagles drafted a wide receiver in the second round that's a possession guy. Anyway, that's where we are. When we come back, Doug Peterson presser at 12 o'clock. We'll hear what he has to say. Bob Cooney filling in for Anthony Gargano. We got Barrett Brooks with us. We've got Pat Egan behind the glass. Time at the Fanatic 1140.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Interrupt this.
Now the jingle hopper has begun. Jingle
bell, your head out of your ass.
Jingle bell will rock. The jingle bells will chime in.
Yep, I don't know if anybody's really in the holiday spirits right now, though.
Gosh, it went great.
So, being that I had to do a little double shift here today.
Bro, you are a trooper, man.
So, no. That's no big deal. Everybody's done their shifts, no big deal. But the cool thing was, so, you know, it's getting towards the end of the turkey. What are you going to do with the rest of the turkey, right? So we had like a 25-pounder. You didn't have any leftover at your house. Is that what you're going to say?
No, we still have leftovers, and I just made the phone call. I got to get some turkey done the right way.
So I persuaded you in this way.
Right.
So last night, there's some turkey left over. My wife says to me, oh, what are we going to do with all this leftover turkey? And she's on this, like, baking kick now. So she do. Ooh, I'm going to make a turkey pot pie. And you can take it to work tomorrow. So I just went in, heated it up. I bring it in. I'm taking some bites. Barrett grabs his phone, calls his wife, says, listen, let's have turkey pot pie for dinner tonight.
Sounds like Donna is the player of the game.
How about that? Donna came through in the clutch.
Fucking wine and good spirits.
So yeah, there's another one. She can go along with Carson Wentz.
But yeah, it's about nothing, man. Come on, man. You're gonna eat that. It smells good, too. It smells awesome. I even gave you the spoon, man.
We don't have any utensils here. I was eating it with a knife, and Barry looked at me and goes, yo, bro, I got a spoon for you. Like you felt bad for me.
Or you know, speaking of you going, you know, doing a double shift, I call you, so I'm thinking, all right, you're going to be doing a shift for me for 4 hours, and I call you, and you text me back, I'm on air right now. And then I turned the station off. I just jumped in the car because I
right,
came
right,
to
right.
and you're on air. I'm like, oh, snap.
Well, that was nice of you, though. You said, oh, I was just going to Wawa. I wanted to know if you needed anything.
Yeah, I was on my way, man. I just left the house.
You're a good man.
Turned on my radio, and who's on my radio? You already. Yeah.
How about that, huh?
I didn't need anything there. You know. Thanks for checking.
You live at Wawa. I wouldn't recognize you if you didn't have a Wawa bag in your hand and an 84-ounce red whatever that is.
Just, it'd be nice to be asked, that's all.
I conversed with you this morning asked you about
you
a Wawa.
The guy who stopped at Wawa. Just didn't text me and ask if I wanted
it. I knew you were going to Wawa.
It's fine. You're not a Foxhole guy. It's fine. So it's all right.
You're miserable, Pat today, aren't
call,
you?
I don't.
Excuse me.
That's cool.
You all right?
I would have been happier if I gotten a call.
Well, it's
if
funny.
I got anything from Wawa?
Next time I will.
One of our last callers said, I'm not, it doesn't bother me. It doesn't matter. I still got up. I still ate my breakfast. I read the paper this morning. Whatever. They lost. I remember I was like 17 years old, and I had the basketball team, my high school basketball team, over to watch Eagles-Cowboys game, right?
Yep.
So we're watching it, and it's back and forth, and the Eagles start losing and wind up losing. And my friends are going nuts. And right, you know, typical Eagles fans, screaming. And I remember it was like an epiphany. I was standing behind them, and I've told this story on air before. I was standing behind them, and I'm like, what difference does it really make to me if the Eagles win or lose this game? Because no matter what, my girlfriend's still going to hate me tomorrow because she just didn't really like me anyway. I'm going to go to basketball practice, and our coach gave us off today, so he's going to run us to death. So that's going to hurt real bad. I still stink at school, and I'm going to fail another test tomorrow. Will the Eagles winning change any of that? And I swear to God, Barrett, I really did stand there and say, like, I got to start looking at these games a little differently. And I have. As much as I'm from here and I want them to win and I do root and all that, it doesn't rule my day. Now we get Egan walking in here today and like, you know, hey, Pat, how are you? Not today, Bob. I couldn't even say hi to him without him, blowing a gasket.
He's always a little pissed SOB, man.
How long do you carry the loss for?
You know what I mean?
Because watching you yesterday on TV, Barrett, I'm not kidding you. I was like, oh, damn, I hope he calms down before tomorrow because you were ticked.
I'm still mad. It got so bad. I had butterflies in my stomach even when I went to bed last night. I shouldn't feel this way. I shouldn't be this vested because I'm not playing. I'm not out there running around. I didn't do any sprints. I didn't do any weights or nothing like that. So why am I so vested in it? It pisses me off beyond comparison. Because number one, you know what? With me, I put my name behind it.
Yeah.
And I analyze stuff. I think I'm pretty damn good at it. And when I say, all right, they need to do this, 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 and that to win, and then they don't do it and they lose, I feel like it's my fault because I gave them the game plan to do it and I couldn't convince anybody over in that NovaCare to do it.
Yeah. You're like me. You don't like to be the I told you so kind of guy. But it's like, damn, why can't you just listen for me a little bit? About 5 minutes, we're going to have Doug Peterson's press conference. But for now, we're going to grab.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, this will be interesting. You might reach a new level of explosiveness after this one. Chris in Williamstown, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Chris?
Yeah, that's going to be funny to hear. Can't wait to see what he does and doesn't backtrack on. But Barrett, Bobby, always a pleasure to talk to you both.
Appreciate it.
As I sent you on Twitter, I got to see you last year before the home opener, Barrett. And, you know, Bob, man, I felt bad wearing a Markelle Fultz
jersey. I just saw that on Twitter during the break, Chris. Did you get rid of that jersey?
How's that working for Orlando?
He's not bad down there. He's playing pretty well.
Knocked off Golden State last night, so wow. I know they are a shell of themselves without D'Angelo, and the other two, Seth anyway. So, getting to the game yesterday, Barrett, let me ask you, for a team that pretty much successfully had the first trick play that really started this whole trend of trick playing in the NFL, like, we should have been better prepared for this, but does it, I blame Frank Reich. Not that, he could have really did anything. But when we lost him, we just looked like, and you hear it during the week, they're predictable. When you were, and Seth were talking about it on post game, when certain tight ends are in and we're not in, backs, you know what's coming. They just, for some reason, whether it's Doug, whether it's Filippo, whoever, the O coordinator, I need to see who's in charge, who's creating this game plan for the week, because it's the same thing week after week. But I'll let you answer that first, and I got a counter to that, though.
You know, it's all Doug. I mean, nothing goes into the game plan. They're going to sit down. They're going to go through, all right, what plays do you like best against this? They're going to go through with Carson. They're going to go through with Groh. They're going to go through it, you know, with Taylor. And from there, they work in the game plan. Now, they get this list of plays. And on this card of the list of plays, throughout the game, it's going to change as they go along. Well, there's times where something didn't need to be changed. This is one of the first times, the first half, you should have took that into the second half. But they tore and ripped everything up and went into the second half throwing the ball. When you ran the ball consistently, we were up on them. We were controlling the game. You know, even though they got up for a second, we still controlled the game because we went in, we scored. And then after that, you just things went to hell, man. They just stopped running
the ball. I'll give you the counterpoint there real quick, though. You know, look at what New England did against us in the second half. When you hear the commentators saying, okay, he's throwing his two deep zone package out there, and he beat him. Like, to a degree, I think there is something to be said about running the play you want to run and making the other team beat, you know, not let it happen. But to not be creative at all, it's almost a slap in the face because this was a team that practically ran the first successful trip play, and now we're getting beat by it on an almost every week basis. Like, there's some that should be the indictment on Doug Peterson, why he was looking better than he was only because of what Frank Reich brought in.
I said that before, Chris, and thanks for the call. Appreciate it, real. But you wonder how much of it was Doug Peterson, the innovation, and how much does he hold on to that? Like I said before earlier this year, going forward on 4th and 2 and 4th and 3 and running trick plays and doing this and that, is that what he's doing to maybe hide critical coaching decisions? Okay, yeah, 4th and 2. I'm the gunslinger. I'm going for it. You know, Philly wasn't really him. It was Nick Foles who came over and said, let's run. And he said, oh, yeah, okay. Was all the innovation back then, was it Frank Reich? Is his only thing that you really can hold on to now is gutsy guy. He'll go for it on 4th and 2.
You know what? I'm going to tell you the truth, man. And just looking at it, I asked, I was talking to Seth the other day and I asked him, hey, man, what do you think is the biggest thing that he misses from Frank Reich? And Frank was like, yeah, you know, the innovation he had. I said, you know what? I think the biggest thing was the respect that Coach had in Frank Reich to listen to him. And I don't know if he has that. You know, and I don't know. I mean, right. I could be wrong, but I don't know how much of respect that he has for Coach Groh in the aspect of, all right, then, a.k.a. Coach, you're not running the ball enough. You're passing a little too much. Who's that reasoning that he has right now? Who's the guy that's saying, because whoever it is right now needs to be fired. But who is that reasoning saying, hey, Coach, we need to run a ball. When we're running the ball, we have some success. Who's in his ear saying that? You know, we're talking about Doug. Doug's the head coach.
Yeah.
I mean, who's saying to Doug, hey, Doug, you know, let's go on back down on the defensive side of the ball. Hey, you know, get your head out your butt, man. Schwartz, whatever you got
to
do.
And the opposite way, I was saying this morning, how about if Schwartz maybe went to Doug yesterday and said, hey, I got to figure Fitzpatrick out for a minute. Let's take some time off the clock.
Right.
Run that damn ball all day long. You know, like, hey, doing a great job running it. Give me some time.
Right.
Something. Like, just so, to me, offense and defense seems like oil and water in this team.
Yep, you know,
like, Frank or Schwartz is the head coach of the defense.
Yep.
Peterson's the head coach of the offense, and somewhere in between is the team.
How is it that these two don't cross paths, you know what I mean, throughout the course of a game? I mean, if you see your defense getting their butt kicked like that, it's got to click. All right, we got to find some way to get the ball out of this guy's hands. He is torturing us right now. Can we please stop the bleeding somehow? All right, I can do that from the offensive side of the ball. Let me run the ball a little more, keep the ball on hand, play some possession type of football, not score so quickly if we are going to score, simply because we got to keep our defense.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.